Hello and welcome to lesson number two concerning Balaam, Israel's fundamental promoter of apostasy. In our last lesson, we left King Balak. He was having a very bad day. In Numbers 22, we read, "And the children of Israel set forth and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel." As we begin Numbers 22, Israel is at the end of her wilderness wanderings. God's people are defeating her enemies, and they have advanced to the border of Moab. We read that King Balak's followers were sore afraid, and they were distressed. Well, it was about a 400-mile trip to go to Bethor, and Balaam, who is mentioned 49 times in the book of Numbers, lived in Bethor and was, as we said, about 400 miles from Moab. It took almost a month to travel one way from Moab to Bethor, and the name Bethor actually means soothsayer. This place was a hotbed of soothsayers or diviners, and Balaam was the most famous diviner in the city. Well, Balak should have talked with Moses. Balak was concerned about being attacked. However, Moses was not about to attack Moab. In Deuteronomy 2, verse 9, we read, "The Lord said unto me," that is Moses, "distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle." Balak wasted a lot of time and energy because he did not talk with someone who was in touch with God. A lot of people make the same mistake today, including Christians. Well, they were referred to as the people that came out of Egypt. In verse 5, Balak referred to them as a people come out of Egypt. Now, it had been about 40 years since God's people had come out of Egypt. However, those who rejected God remembered what God had done through his people 40 years earlier. It was in the same time frame that Rahab said, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt." Well, Balak wanted the best possible soothsayer that he could get, and he said, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." Well, Balaam was a soothsayer who was for sale. We read in Deuteronomy 23:4, they hired against the Balaam. Nehemiah 13, they hired Balaam against them. In 2 Peter, we read, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. In Numbers 22:7, verse 7 tells us, they came to Balaam with the reward of divination in their hand. The Hebrew word for divination is translated witchcraft in 1 Samuel 15, verse number 23. Well, Balaam eagerly entertained these big shots who showed up on his doorstep because Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. Therefore, we read, he said unto them, "Lodge here this night." And now the Lord asks the question, "What men are these?" This is one of those questions recorded in the Bible that God already knew the answer to. In Genesis 3:9, God asked Adam, "Where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to figure out where he was, especially in the spiritual condition. He did not ask, "Who are these men?" He asked what they were. You can tell what a person really is by who he or she will allow to be their friends. God in his mercy was showing Balaam what he really was. He was giving him an opportunity to confess what he was and what he wasn't. However, like Judas, Balaam remained on his determined course to his doom, which Jude 1:13 tells us was the blackness of darkness forever. So we have the question, with thee, those men that were with Balaam were against God, and so was Balaam. The phrase, with thee, is found 15 times in the book of Numbers. All but one deals with God's people and who they were with. One deals with Balaam and who he was with. Balaam simply ignored the question. Well, we have instructions from God for Balaam in Numbers 22. We read in verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave with you. Well, the princes of Moab rose up and went unto Balak, which was 400 miles back there, and they said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Now, King Balak had been waiting for an answer for about 2 months. However, he was not about to give up on hiring this very famous soothsayer. Balaam obviously had no interest whatsoever in the will of God. He was simply using this situation as a negotiating tool to get more money out of Balak. We read 2 Peter 2:15, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Well, the negotiation tactics continue. We read in verse 15, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. We've got to influence this Balaam guy. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, and curse thee, therefore I pray thee, curse me this people. Well, this is exactly what Balaam wanted to happen, but he makes a very risky response here. He says, it says in verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. So Balaam continues his negotiating plan. Balaam is not the least bit interested in the will of God. We have seen that, and we'll see it more as we go on with this lesson. He is simply playing the money game with Balak. Balaam realized that Moab was sore afraid, and they were distressed because of the people come out of Egypt. That is why we read Balaam said to the servants, now therefore, I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Well, he just gave that sentence saying, no, God doesn't want me to go. He said that several times. The hypocrite didn't give any care about what God wanted at all. He's playing his game. Well, we see the mercy of God here. It is only by the mercy of God that God deals with Balaam at all. However, like Balaam's New Testament counterpart, Judas Iscariot, Balaam ignores all of God's mercy and continues with his focus on his finances. John 12 tells us that Judas was a thief and had to beg and bear what was put therein. Well, God's response to Balaam, we read in verse number 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And then we read, God was angry because he went. In Numbers 22 and 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, I thought he told them he could go. Well, we see in Numbers 22, verse 32 and 33, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Well, I thought the Lord said he could go. What's happening here? Well, if you'd like to know that, be sure and tune in for lesson number 3.